Mind you, what sort of saucy slogan could I slap on the gift tag to make the neighbors choke on their eggnog? Keep it on the slide, just a cheeky hint.
The preamble. The preamble's good.
Hello.
Hello. I'm always aware whenever I edit this, like, how asleep I sound for the first, like, 10 minutes. Which makes sense.
You're just rolled quieter out a bit. At it, usually.
Takes me a while to, like, warm up. So, hello.
In the moment, I don't notice it. Maybe people listening are just, they're disconnected enough. I don't notice that you sound sleepy or I'm always kind of shocked when I think about it afterwards. Like, how does he do that? Rolls out of bed less than an hour later. He's talking to me.
The power of coffee. my buddy did not want to wake up this morning. I'm late because I turned off my 5 a.m. alarm. I was going to come in and plug the robots in and chug them around before we went on the air, but my body was just like, hell no, you're not. Go back to sleep, idiot. So then thankfully one of the children stirred and I woke up and was like, oop, sorry, Justin, I'm on my way. So here we are.
Just a quick apology to all that listen. We collectively had a bit of technical and timing gaffes last week. If you're looking for a normal show release, we messed it up.
Well, they had one person message me and say they caught it, but
robots.
Robots. It is, it's been a robot-saturated week for me. They're here. They're on my floor.
It's crazy. Saw some stories.
Two crane trucks later. I pulled the kids out of school yesterday. I chucked them in the van, still asleep at 6 a.m. And we drove down to Melbourne once, unloaded a crane truck. Drove back here, unloaded. Then threw them back in the car. They were less enthusiastic about the second trip.
We already did this once.
What? Yeah,
that's like...
Did we get chippies again?
At least 6 hours of driving?
They'd been in the car for about 12 hours by the time we... 13 hours by the time we got home. On and off. Like, it was a long day. Yeah. So, two trips, loaded... Unloaded, loaded, unloaded. A driver was pushing his hours. Like, he wasn't allowed to go back to Melbourne last night, so he had to stay here. Otherwise, he would have exceeded his logbook hours. So we'll pay a little bit extra for that. But it was just good to get it all done and dusted in one day. But they're sitting out there. I'm very excited.
They're in the shop. Yeah, I saw... So Johnny wheeling them around on a pallet jack, and I was like, holy moly.
That's real. Surprise. Yeah. The two big ones, we just landed on pallets. And then the third, Abe, the one with the HSD spindle, was the last one to land last night. And it shipped on its, like, monster robo pallet, this sort of 1800 by 1800 steel construction.
That's crazy.
Incredibly heavy in itself. So now my poor little forklift, just you put the tines in this assembly and it's like, no, I don't know what to do.
Don't do it.
I'm sorry. The back wheel's just spinning. I can't turn. I can't lift. So
do you ever have an imagination of like hydraulic fluid shooting out everywhere when you use a forklift?
Sometimes, yeah.
Especially how old mine is.
I have had those thoughts. So I'm not sure what to do about that. I did manage to drag it in the end. I got the pallet jack under one end of it and the forklift under the other end and kind of dragged it across the shop vaguely into the direction where I wanted it. But I think I'm just going to have to sling the robot off the pallet get it off the pallet because the pallet's adding too much weight. And then maybe I'll be able to shuffle. That's the main one I want to bolt down first, so I need to work it out. I've bought some 3-ton slings. I've bought all the monster chem set bolts to bolt them back into the floor. We had some delays yesterday, actually, because when we... I'd already cut all the bolts off Abe and Abby to get them off the slab. But when the crane truck went to lift them up, he was like, these are glued to the floor. They're not coming up. I was like, oh, shoot. So we had to...
Glued?
The chem, like all the chem set stuff had just kind of spooged out the holes and like was gluing the mounting plates to the floor.
Oh, right. So like an epoxy around the...
Yeah, the epoxy chem set stuff.
Bolts.
The masonry bolts, concrete bolts. So that was a bit of a mission trying to pry those off. But we got there. Yeah. It's happening, man. It's happening.
How much did the crane trucks cost you? You have any idea yet?
Yeah, I thought he was pretty reasonable. 150 an hour. It was a full day. It's going to be like... It was going to be about $1,500, but then he was staying here the night. So I don't know. I expect to pay a couple of grand.
That's actually
for two really trips. I think that's honestly pretty reasonable.
That's less than my crosstown YCM move.
Yeah, right. So yeah,
I would like to move all of my machines in Australia.
I got lucky with a friend who recommended him, because initially I was looking for riggers and I couldn't find any
that wanted different.
Even quote. And then this guy was like, oh, yeah, we moved a machine once, and this dude with a crane truck just put a bridge port, like, way back in a back awkward corner, and he was quite happy to, like, give it a go. And it's like, that's the guy I need. And, yeah, he was great.
Wow, interesting. So there must be a decent, like, I can't imagine those things can lift, like, the biggest of machines, but for robots...
Maybe not. Yeah.
Perfect sense, especially considering they're, like, kind of compact.
Yeah, it was amazing. Like, he picked up Tiny from across the room, like 5 meters away, and just went, whoop, pop.
That's super
onto the
cool.
Truck. It's like, sick.
That's like cheating in rigging world, right? Like, usually they're like skating it around, getting underneath it.
Oh. There was no skating.
That's amazing.
So, yeah.
Cool.
I will
Sparky
be...
in?
Yeah, I've got Sparky coming on Monday to put in two more 32 amp outlets against the wall where they're going. And yeah, what else?
And the plan is to have three or two right away.
Two.
Yeah.
It's
overwhelming, I bet, to like imagine more than two.
Like
it is for me.
It's like,
like, what do I do with more than two robots?
I know. It's like two simultaneous agent chats in Cursor or something. Your brain can only cope with so many ideas at once. It's like, no, two is enough right now.
That's a good segue. One of my biggest unlocks this week was, I don't know why I didn't think about this, you can have more than one concurrent Cursor chat windows.
How?
And they can work in the same project.
How can they not just mess each other up?
Relatively the same things, and it worked fine. I don't know if they know what the other's doing, or I just got lucky, but...
Are you guys talking to each other? Because
you're being too cooperative. I don't know.
That's amazing.
I was... Yeah, you know, there's a decent amount of waiting in some of the stuff I'm working on, and...
Mm.
You know, I'm really not frustrated by that, genuinely, because I sit back and think, like, as I'm sitting here watching this thing spit code out, it's working faster than any human can really work.
Mm-hmm.
Whether
it's
correct every time, you know, that's up in the air. But, like, now that I can do two at once for 4 cents a request, like, that's just
can't
crazy.
Believe they're working on the same thing. That's awesome.
Yeah, no,
you'll have
until...
to show me the secret sauce of how to do that. So,
just
admitted
another little chat button.
Really? Okay. So, admittedly,
nothing
like,
secret.
I've been running production after hours and/or moving robots all week.
Mm.
So, I've done a shit job of keeping up with your little code updates that you've
been
sending me.
I've been
my
dumping
apologies.
You a lot of junk. Yeah. No,
it's not junk. It looks exciting. You're obviously making progress.
Pretty good. Yeah. What? Well, curious about your rapid coding project.
Mm.
What's that like? What do you have you started something?
Yeah. I've built a cursor agent.
Cursor
A
agent.
different way of thinking about cursor. It occurred to me, because I want, I've chatted about this already, but like I want Ben or Rowan, like John and I are going to train up and be ABB programmers as part of this project. But that obviously that's not for the whole team. So John and I can program and do whatever, ideally get them to do whatever we need them to do. But I would also like other operators in the shop to be able to walk up to Abby, the sanding robot, and say, "Hey, Abby, today I'm sanding this." And it's a little bit different. It's a bit like this part, but it's different in these ways. And Abby goes, "Oh, cool." And writes some rapid code on the fly. Maybe passes it through a simulation step for safety. And then whoosh, that file was immediately replaced on the controller, and you can hit run. Obviously, that's a little bit pie in the sky, but it's also incredibly feasible with these tools that we're sitting on.
Yeah, sure.
So I was thinking about the stack, and I thought, well, Cursor can do file management. I can have Cursor overwrite a file that is on the network somewhere, potentially even on the robot controller, or through a simple automation could sync to the robot folder just through folder automations. And so I was like, right, okay. I haven't done much like multi-file stuff in Cursor, but let's start with like a knowledge base, and I'll give it like a YAML file that's like, these are all theoretical at this stage, but like these are all your tools, these are your work offsets, this is your environment, these are kind of your known data that you're allowed to use and reference when you're writing new programs. So it's not just making shit up. A bunch of README files and best case rapid. This is good rapid code in this example. This is rapid code that's actually been written and has run on this robot. And then your job is, I'm going to walk up to the start a new chat and go, hey Abby, today we're sanding a thing that's blah blah blah, blah this size. And then
Yeah.
you overwrite the job file, the program, with new rapid code to do that. And it work it basically works. I've had some simulation issues where, because I'm passing it through RoboDK at the moment, which is just some free, amazingly, simulation software. And a lot of the time, so far, it's wigged out, and it's like it hasn't liked the first position. And it's like, no, I can't move to that position. But then I've had other instances where it's got it right. So it's just, I need to fine tune it further. Basically, continue to refine its rules that it's referencing of like, no, these are your sweet spots for movement. This is what we're trying to achieve. And like, it's just working through that and getting that reliable and safe. But I think it's actually very feasible to do.
It's interesting, and it kind of connects to something that I was going to bring up this week, in that as I've been onboarding, basically done onboarding and finishing moving over to Help Scout, which is that new help desk thing I moved from Freshdesk, and I'm honestly like 95, 98% confident in that that was absolutely the right choice. So ever since, I've felt like we got everything moved, mostly with Cursor's help, migrating all those articles and things. I just feel like I have all the tools, and they're faster to use to like respond to customers now than they used to be.
Cool. Great.
I'd say the AI drafting is definitely less impressive than I wanted it to be, and I think it'll get better because it's just pulling in a GPT-esque like tool, and it's like you can tell it's an older one. It's just not as good. So that's minor. However, what's been amazing as I'm trying to like do different things with like variables in like the way that I can respond to a customer or like these little workflows, they have a chatbot built in. It's the same tool used on the front end of our website that you can use as AI, and it uses all Help Scout's information, right? Like their documentation for me, a customer of Help Scout. And it is phenomenal. It
Really?
scours through all their documentation, and I can just ask very like normal questions we would use an AI for. You know, how do I make the beacon, that's what they call the little widget, automatically open as a text link on my Shopify page? And it just dumps me in the exact code I need in this AI answer tool on the side of the page. But it's just, it's the same tool. Like, it's the AI chat that goes on the front end of my website. It would just have my information, my help desk information, my documentation. So nobody's really been using that yet. And I think because they've been so shitty, honestly, so often when people get introduced to this kind of thing, I have that reaction too of like, I don't want to talk to an AI. That's stupid. I just want to talk to a person. But like, it's been like genuinely easily the best version of this I've seen. And I didn't expect that. I didn't think that part would be very helpful.
Is this the docs search function that's on your website right now? It's currently baked in?
Yes. Do you see the thing at the top says AI chat or something like that? AI answers?
I went to docs. AI answers, not AI answers. Yeah, all right. Cool. Yeah, I need a narrow dust boot for focused flow. I wish I could touch type. See what it
says. It's going to fail right as you try this, probably.
Our slim brush 2.0 brush pad has an arrow with better focus and fewer obstructions.
Does it give you a link to it?
Come on, sell. Almost swore at it then. Did it give me a link? Sources, will it improve?
Can you just say upgrade? Well, I guess ask what you want, but say like...
It linked me to the Laguna dust boot.
That's kind of weird.
On your competitor's website? I'm joking.
Well, right.
It did give me a link. It did give me a link to it, yeah. I'll screenshot that for you.
What I think is interesting is, you know, we've always seen the promise of these things, I think, but they've just been so, like, one shot, like, did I get to the right answer? And then it, like, makes you start over. It's not contextual conversation. And it's, like one of the first times I've had a help tool that's not just GPT, be contextual, be, like, it's actually indexing my website, like, actual Shopify, as well as the documentation that we've moved over from Freshdesk. So it's like, I don't know, it's just kind of shocking to me. It's like actually useful.
Yeah, cool. And this is part of this new overall package that you're using.
That's just what they use for, you can either chat or email us or just search for documentation or try this AI answer thing.
If there's any way of training,
kind of pop up.
Yeah. Can you train it in any way, or give it more input?
That's a good question. Yes.
Could, for instance, give it feedback and say, hey, you're not really giving the customer a direct call to action. You're just telling it what its sources are. You're not saying, click here for this product, which is what it's doing to me now. It's like, it's not being very salesy.
They haven't given it a lot of, let's see, I can change the tone. I can add what its sources are. And then I can change the brand tone, I guess.
Yeah.
And give it more articles to be
justin.com
source. Right.
And more Justin. I want more Justin. Come on. Sweet.
But I think I imagine they'll give it some more.
Yeah.
It's just interesting. I can see the statistics of like how people are using it, and nobody's tried the AI chat yet of all the things. And I'm like, I kind of understand why. You know, like,
yeah.
You just expect those
nobody
to suck.
Nobody does.
Yeah. So I don't, it's been useful for me internally, which is kind of funny. I didn't expect that at all.
Very nice. How's the product side of the business going? You're busy coding, but like, how's the rest of it tracking?
Guess not as fast as it should be. Kind of like in a lot of, like I mentioned, a million different things, probably just unfocused of what to actually work on. There's, you know, a couple really good things, but I'm not really driving any single one of them.
Oh, in terms of development, sure.
Yeah. Got probably a little distraction with that A1 mini, Bamboo.
Oh,
A1,
yeah.
Not the mini.
The print farm.
Bad news is it.
No.
It's an interesting concept. It's pretty poorly executed.
Okay.
In terms of like, I sent them back a list of questions. It's not complicated. It's just G code, right? It's like weights and like movements.
Yeah. Yeah,
and the way that
it
went together, some stuff has changed, and the versioning of the Mini, or sorry, I keep calling it the Mini, the A1, not the Mini. And so, like, some parts don't fit right that they've provided me. And you kind of have this, like, letter tray where the bed sit in, and then there's a part that covers the power cord as the bed slings back and forth, and they ram into each other pretty extensively. It basically causes like collisions that make the belt sound like it's skipping. And so it never actually pulls the new bed on, but it will kick the old bed off. And
what
my fear was
story.
If I'm not sitting here, I'm just going to print on the non-covered bed. So I've killed it for now, and I've sent them feedback.
Okay.
So, you know, I think where we could go from here, though, is interesting of like, considering what it could be worth for it to work right, I think we can take this and modify what they've had, or like come up with our own little pieces that work better, because it's not like rocket science. Now that I've kind of wrapped my head around it, it's always easier to come to something second, right? So I don't know. It's
so shelved for now, or are you going to keep feeling?
Yeah, fiddling? I'm going to see what they say like about my problems that I come up with. I'm sure I'm not the only one. And then let's see. We're using the printer. It is tool tags, little. We don't have an enclosure, so it's like not quite printing those ideally right now. So we started some PLA products like the towers, and that actually printed really well. So it's in a minor bit of production for us at the moment.
Okay. And
it's, you know, for one third the cost of an X1, like I'm pretty happy with it, even if it's just a prototype and minimal printing for us. So
cool. I am we had our first significant issue with our X1C this week with the blocked nozzle. Blocked extruder, sorry.
Mm-hmm.
And
right.
It's the first time I've sort of actually got in there and pulled it stuff, started pulling things apart and trying to find a problem.
Yeah.
My first pull apart was a bit like intimidating and like, oh, so many little pieces and screws. But it took me about four goes to find the blockage. I'd kept not going quite deep enough and then reassembling and trying it. And I was like, no, it's still blocked, damn it. Pull it apart again. So by the fourth pull apart, I was like, wow, this is easy. And I'd already blown a couple of hours on it the other day. I just didn't have any more time. And then Laura came in and spent the afternoon on it as well. She finally got it going, thankfully, because she's got wall-to-wall printing to do over the next week before she installs a sculpture. But it's a cool thing. Yep. Like I appreciate how modular it is, you know, a sense of like being able to jump onto the Bamboo website and go, I need more of that bit, and oh, let's get some spare parts of that, and let me just buy a whole spare extruder head to just have in the drawer for next time, and so we can get back online quicker. And it'd just be nice if parts shipped quickly, but otherwise,
That is my biggest concern. You know, usually, so we just keep extras of a lot of stuff on hand, but we don't have everything. We don't have all parts, so
at
least now that we have more than one printer, it
works,
I suppose, better in that regard. But that was one of their big criticisms, I remember, of all the original Maker heads that were like, oh, no, their parts are generic. They're all proprietary. So what happens if they don't want to, you know, provide us good parts at a cheap price? And it's like, well, they never have done that. You know, and they're actually pretty affordable. Like, they're definitely not trying to, like, do the car dealer thing where they're, like, charging you, like, crazy markups.
Well,
it's, like, probably some money you made, but realistically they're not charging much.
Yeah.
And One thing that I haven't gotten into yet, but I do know that they've done a really cool thing with the A1s, where that nozzle supposedly is like tool-less changing, which is really sweet. Like, kind of the pinnacle to me of like user convenience.
Agreed. Yeah. Yeah. Very cool.
That makes me think of, did you get all the tooling with the robots?
Yes, I've got a box of tooling.
Oh, wow.
Cool. I've got a big I-beam, but built like this big I-beam with like tool holder.
Mm-hmm.
What are those little plastic things where the ISO 30 just kind of pushes in sideways? It's probably...
Fork.
The fork, yeah. What you make. He'd made his own forks out of some plastic. Bolted them to this I-beam. So, yeah, I got the I-beam with the tool forks. It's probably about 12 tool positions. And ISO 30 tooling for all of it.
Yeah.
And some just enormous, like, foam cutting tools, which I'll probably never use, that are as long as my forearm. And
We'll see.
He tried to give me some foam, and I was just like, because he's got these enormous blocks in there. As big as my car. It's like, no, I'm a bit scared of it. I kind of, from a toxicity point of view, I just, I'm not interested in filling my space full of foam dust. I can smell it too. Like when I got in the van this morning to move it, so that I had some ducking in the back of the van that I'd pulled off the main machine. And I was like, that's that smell. It's like that urethane dust or something. It's like, nah, yuck.
Yeah, that's no thanks. Freaks me out.
Yeah. So no intentions to do foam jobs at this stage. I mean, if you nailed the enclosure and the dust extraction and stuff and did an awesome job of all that, then maybe. But yeah, that's certainly not my interest at this stage.
I just thought of something sweet. This is like far beyond what you should be working on, but you could use one robot to film the other one working.
Oh, the one's getting a camera for sure, yeah.
Tool change to camera.
Yeah, that'd be sick. I mean, I bought the essential accessory the other night. I got the rubber horse mask, you know, that you see from classic meme videos.
God, yes. I almost suggested that to you, and then I was like, yeah, I didn't think about it. Comes out of the horse trailer.
That'll be fun. Yes. We shall see. What was I going to say? It's gone.
Have you seen... We'll go a little off in the weeds here. Have you seen the Yeti vlogs?
Day 3 of hunting for humans. Still no humans, but I did find this bottle of blue candy called Viagra. Let's give it a try. I'm not sure what was in that candy, but let's just say I could build a deck out of the wood between my legs.
Now, what's that?
Oh, there's Yeti. A link down here.
What the hell? Oh, is this like...
It is.
VO3.
I mean, I'm already tired of it, which is kind of sad, but maybe I just watched too much TikTok. But some guy, I believe, found a way through, I think I want to say it's Google's tools, to make...
Yeah, it looks like VO3.
Incredibly real videos of a Yeti vlogging his day, which is hilarious. It's like super bro voice. He's always getting into like drugs that he finds in the forest. And so then he showed everybody how to do it. And there's like 1,000 spinoff Yeti vlog things. I've seen a kangaroo or a wallaby that's like out in the bush with like a gun and a GoPro stick. It's just phenomenal, like how accurate and real it seems. And it is pretty funny to see a Yeti vlogging, like, do, like, cooking tips and, like...
Yeah, yeah. The voice stuff is pretty amazing. Like, now that they've synced voice to video, it's like, wow. Yeah.
The things that I see that aren't perfect yet are, between scenes, the character changes slightly. But honestly, not that much. Not as much as it used to or you would expect it to, because obviously they're probably different prompts and they're trying to like string them together. Are incredibly accurate still. But like intra clip, it is dang near flawless, like video sound. It's really good.
Very cool. Yeah, there's going to be a lot of meme-y junk videos coming out of that.
It went from the first night I saw it, it was exploding on TikTok. Everybody was freaking out. Then the second day, when I looked at stuff again, there was already so many spinoff accounts that I was like, wait, this is a little bit, you know, it's kind of the same, not quite the same. It looks different. Like, and I was like, oh, that's a different account. Oh, that's another different account. It's just like all I was getting was Yeti videos from different accounts. There's beavers that are building like a construction site, and then the like he crosses them over, where like he also did an alien series, and the alien crashes in the forest, and he's like doing a vlog too for some reason, and the alien one day just met up with the Yeti, and they're like, oh, and it's like they were doing a YouTube collab together where they're like, hey, we're gonna do a video together today. It's pretty funny. Like, it definitely depends on the writing.
Yeah, oh, totally. Yeah. Oh dear, what are we in for? What are our children in for?
Everybody was using the same joke comment, was like, I'm so getting scammed when I'm 60. By a Yeti.
So I was going to tell you about my little application engineering side quest that's kicked off. Napska, I'm an Napska.
New business.
New business, yeah. The contract, I can't remember how much I've talked about this or what I've told you, but our old customer who we don't work for anymore came back and said, hey, can you help us set up in-house manufacturing? And I did like a day of advice, consultation a few months ago. Anyway, they've come back and they want to proceed with me providing a turnkey setup for their in-house manufacturing. So like specifying all the machines, coordinating their install, setting them up with all their production files, blah, 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 et cetera, et cetera. So that's kicked off, and I don't have a huge amount of capacity, brain space, but I'm gonna pull in some help where I need it.
I was gonna say, it's a big project.
It is a big project, and I can't be boots on the ground in Melbourne doing that. So yeah, I'll pull people in to help with bits of it. But it's cool to sort of start thinking about it, and I do really enjoy that planning stuff around workshop flow and different ideas.
Yeah.
It's a pretty fun space to be in and consider. I've never done it for anyone else before, so it's a curious thing. But it is quite pleasing to do it for such a distinct product line. Like, it's literally setting up a flow for one substrate, different outputs from that one material, but basically only machining one material, only painting one material. Basically just different shapes of the same thing. It's quite contained and simple in one way, but fun to think about.
Give you a year and you're gonna be an apps guy for robots too. This is gonna be like the same concept where you're like, well, if we just added a couple arms,
yeah,
and a conveyor belt.
Sure, sounds fun. I'll sign up for that. But yeah, meanwhile, not much time, just been busy.
Right.
Busy. We had like three big jobs all land in the same 2-week period, so things have been pretty hectic here. I've done so many late nights that my body is complaining and threatening to get sick, I think. We shall see.
Yeah, I know that feeling. I keep staying up kind of late, and then like, oh, go to bed a little earlier for once. And then my mini person wakes up at 4 in the morning, 4:48 in the morning, and I'm like, what are you doing? No sleep.
Yeah, it's hard. Does he go back down?
Sometimes. Enough times. But lately, no. And he didn't sleep for a nap right now. Did you see this little video I made of Smed is just stuck in my head, and I did this little upgrade that I had been wanting to do for a long time. It was like our little print station where we have the 3X1s at the shop. Especially Ricky, right? You know, you always see the inefficiency with other people's work, not your own, I feel like. And so we're rolling around the... I'm watching him, like, empty the beds, and I'm like, this is silly. We're walking around the bed to the laser cutter and then back, and then, like, you have to wait for it to cool down. It's like, oh, what if we just got more print sheets and put up a little, like, cleat on the wall where I can put bins, so you dump the trays off and immediately put a new one on, a new sheet, and start printing again, and then wait for the bed to cool down on its own.
Mm.
And then you come back, empty them when you go to do next cycle or whatever. And it literally went from like a couple minutes probably for each to like under 30 seconds to swap them. Not that we're like getting more prints out. It's just, I've been thinking mostly about it as like, you know, if you get three printers and you're each one, it was like six trips, right? Around and back to each one. It just adds up to like a lot of wasted steps, even in a small area. So
faffing around
sounds a little silly, but I think it just feels better too. Like Ricky immediately was like, this is way better. And like you said, it's like, I feel like employees are always the first to resist those kind of changes, even if it's small. And it takes a long time for people to be flexible and willing to just be like, yeah, let's try it out, even if it sucks. And we'll try a new thing after that. And like, eventually I feel like you kind of get them into their mind's just like, all right, I accept we're doing weird stuff all the time. And like, maybe it's going to work, maybe it's not. And this one feels like a one.
Yeah. 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 It's interesting. I haven't worked out how to make that click with this, because everyone's personality and sort of appetite for that stuff is so different. It just feels like there's not just a one-size-fits-all SMED injection policy.
No, absolutely not. Yeah. And it that took me weeks to think about, of actually maybe months, of like, this sucks, I don't like doing this myself. And then I finally was just like, kind of like in the tour video of Henry Holsters, it's like, we actually had, I bought the new bins, but we had that cleat thing. It was just when you have the available tools, suddenly you can, like, if you have all the stuff, I was like, well, I could just do this real quick and then it's done.
Yeah, that's the sweet spot. No delay, no feeling like you're having to spend money try out a weird idea. It's just like, no, let's just do it now. Yeah, I love that stuff.
Anyway,
I love having all the ingredients to do that on hand. Like, I've had moments in the past where I've been really frustrated with my team and their desire, which I understand this desire, but their desire to like purge the workshop and clean up stuff that they see no value in.
Dude, that's great though, right?
That is great at one level, but also my frustration with that in the past has been like when I'm in problem solving mode and there's a machine down or something's weird that needs quick action.
Yes.
That special cupboard of random shit that you see as useless that you want to put in the bin, that's where I go first. And I'm like, I know in here there's a tub with one of those in it. And it's like in my brain, there's a little archive of all the little random things that I've collected over the years. And like, I know that one day that one of them is going to be useful. And so it's finding that balance of like, kind of having some stuff on hand to be able to sort of execute in that way versus maintaining a clean, clear, you know, workshop. Mm-hmm. So I don't know the answer.
Right.
Both have value.
Yeah. I think when you go beyond two people, it gets maybe exponentially more complicated for that kind of stuff sometimes, because like, I'm just thinking as you're talking, when it's Ricky and I, I often will create the chaos, and then he comes behind me and like makes it clean and tidy again, and I'm like, cool. Like, and I'm definitely aware of it, and I always like try to clean up the things, but I'm like, yeah, man, I'll come clean this up tomorrow or when I get back here. And like when I get back, he's already like found places for it, which is crazy too, like reorganize. And he always remembers more than any person in my life. He always remembers where everything is, like where it goes to. Wow. I'm always like, that's amazing. But if you have multiple people doing that, like you don't have that one memory.
Yeah. Yeah. Then it starts getting more complex. Hey? Yeah.
Anyway, it's.
That's when it comes back to systems. That's if there's more people.
Yeah.
Then you need good systems.
Right. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Like we've just got this minor thing at the moment, which really bugs me, of like, there's Makita battery tools kind of spread willy-nilly all over the shop, and some benches have chargers, some don't, and we've kind of lost all logic of like battery charging or even just like where to find an impact driver sometimes. Like the other night I was wandering around the workshop going, oh my god, I know we've got like 4 Makita impact drivers and I cannot find a single one right now. Like, where the hell are they? And I did not fix that problem in the moment because I finally found one and then went back and did the job that I was trying to do. But yeah, there's definitely work to be done.
That's tough, right? I don't know. I did overpurchase basically, or like tag them, or I've, you know, eventually we don't have a very big shop, but over time I've just added more. Now it's like they're like $100 for like a brushless little 12 volt Milwaukee drill without a battery. And it's like, you know, I put them into the mill room and like into the assembly area. It's just like, I kind of am always, this guy I used to listen to all the time, he'd always say like, I put trash cans everywhere, you know, like if I put my hand out and I expect to drop this piece of trash, I put a trash can there, you know, like I guess I'm like that with tools. It's like, oh, here's where I work and I don't want to walk across the shop for a screwdriver, so I'm gonna put screwdrivers here.
Yeah, nice.
But yeah, small shop, different.
Speaking of small shop, the other night when I was here prepping for robot move day, I was running cycles on Cameron and they were about a 4-minute cycle. And so every downtime between cycles, I was just clearing space for the robots. And I cleared about the whole back corner of the shop. I basically emptied. And it was so satisfying to find that much space. Like, I found about 100 square meters or like 25% of our floor space. I'm just like shuffling stuff around and going, wow, that, you know, we had a bench that was a previous employee's bench from the downsize, you know, over a year ago, that we just never properly, it just collects junk. Like, sometimes we use it, but most of the time it's just got crap on it. I was like, cool, I'll clear that and I'll move that there. And then that means all of this material can park in there and blah, blah, blah. And just like found so much space. And I could have kept going. Like, I could have done that for days and just continued to like, no, that needs to go in there, blah, 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 blah. That was really, like, it's been really reassuring, actually. I moved the table saw and the router and just compacted that into the sort of central zone. And it was really reassuring, actually, in terms of our future workshop move, which is going to be significantly smaller, doing this exercise and going, hey, no, this is going to work. Like, it's going to be possible. We can be much smarter about space. We're just very sloppy at the moment because we've got more than we need.
If you're trying to figure it out too, he said 1,000 square feet.
Sorry, 100
like
square meters.
That's like half of my shop.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Well, coincidentally, the area I cleared is pretty much exactly the area that I'd taped out to be our new shop in that corner. Like, I'd simulated like what the new shed's going to look like, and it's basically that whole corner that I cleared the other night.
Do you imagine that you're going to do less work, like less jobs? Or are you trying to do the same amount in just less space?
Same throughput, but it will have to be more focused work, so less random stuff. Like the job that I'm running at the moment after hours is like 850 panels for a, for our acoustic panel customer. And we just won't have the space for that. Like, we won't have the space to bring in 20 pallets of raw material and put it in the corner and then work through it over a few weeks. Like, we're just...
Can you, like, have outbuildings where you're, like, containers where you put stuff into, or is that just too crazy?
Maybe. Technically, no. With the home base business rules, we're supposed to contain all business operations within that 100 square meters. Will there be shipping containers on the property? Yes, there are already.
Yes. It's always in flux. It's like when the when the fire people come, the fire marshal, and they like want to inspect stuff, it's like you need to have like a button at the front of the shop where it's like, Ricky, clean up all the power cords. Fire marshal's here.
I was having this fantasy the other night of installing an electric mechanical gate. Because partly Laura and I are a little bit nervous about increasing traffic at home and having kids out on the driveway and stuff and having trucks come in when there might be kids running around. Like, let's just put a gate, a little simple gate, so like we get a buzz in the workshop. We're like, oh, cool, it's the FedEx truck. Boop, let them in. Boop, gate goes up. But then I was having this fantasy of just installing like a voice LLM in the fence post. And so like you have to roll in, you have to have a conversation with this like slightly unhinged fence post. And state your intention and convince it to open the gate for you.
That's good. Yes, I like it. What is the answer? I don't know.
Not in the mood for riddles. Come on. Let me in.
Speaking of riddles, what you're chatting with my website bot. What in the... Did you... Is that your language? Did you write this?
Nah, that was my unhinged...
Okay.
Drinking partner, one of my sim theory assistants.
Okay. I've never heard you speak. Fair dinkum, mate. I reckon that stocking surprise idea's got legs, but let's crank the Christmas chaos. If I slipped a dodgy elf costume on that same Spud Polly's doorstep, am I cussing?
I've been trying to jailbreak Justin's web chat. But failed.
Get my bank details. Mind you, what sort of slossy slogan could I slap on the gift tag to make the neighbors choke on their eggnog? Keep it on the slide, just a cheeky hint.
I don't know what Barry's on about, to be honest. I don't know how he got onto a Christmas surprise. There must be something in his memories that's making him.
Do you have a version of Gem that does this in Australian? Like a local dialect.
I just opened Barry's memories in Sim Theory, and like the third one down is Jam enjoys dark, obscene Christmas and political humor. I must have been trying to get Barry to make something obscene at some point, and he's just remembered that. So good.
I'll never forget.
Oh, it was during the Australian election. I was trying to make fake political texts for the party that I didn't want to get in, and then send them to my sister as if they were real political things. That's why Barry's on that train of thought, I think. Oh, dear.
I see. That's Barry, good. Well, I need
back in
to
your box, Barry.
Go off and... parent, yep. But cool. I was going to leave you with one life-changing event of my last week, because I got through Autodesk, I got a little creator package from, give them a little plug here, 3D Connection.
Oh, you got one.
You know, the like space mouse. I've had space mouse, plural, since my days in architecture school. Love them. Actually won't work on this dang computer, this laptop I use, so... It's a new wireless one, and it came with a mouse, which I'm not about their mouses. But this mouse pad, I have not had a new mouse pad in like probably 5 years.
Hang on, it's a
it
pad?
It is phenomenal. That this is part of the kit that came with it. So it had a pad, a mouse, and actually like the space mousey thing that's in the other room right now.
Just looks like a
printer
plate.
The mouse pad itself is my favorite part, for sure.
Why?
It's
why?
Maybe it's just because it's new, but it like
so Windows 95
makes it like float really quickly and effortlessly.
Right.
It probably just speaks to like the clumsiness of my old one, I guess. But I did not perceive that was going to be so amazing. And it's like, I suppose it's expensive at like $40 for a mouse pad, but like I'm going to buy one for my other desk. Like,
no way.
It is fantastic.
I thought mouse pads
maybe
were
I'm just weird.
Dead and gone. Sounds pretty weird to me.
I mean, versus the, yeah, there's something, I've been thinking about it. I think it's literally the texture because it makes it have less points of contact. It's like more.
It looks like the PEI bamboo plate.
It does. It does. Right. It's not quite that rough, but you can definitely feel it.
Okay.
I don't know.
Okay.
I was surprised.
Pro tip.
Pro tips. Mouse pads. Let's go back 40 years. 30 years. Yep.
Cool, man. All right.
Good to chat.
Good to see you.
Yep. Have fun with your robots. Make me videos, please.
I will. I'm going to go plug one in right now.
Exciting.
Okay, bye.
I'm here for the live stream. Only bots.
Only bots. Only horsey okay. Bots. Cool, man. No! Bye.
Bye.